they come from their eggs, the parents nest in them, and then after a while we'll hear from their nest boxes, we'll hear chirping, and then the parents frantically bringing them food, helping them grow, and then next thing you know, you actually see the parents nudging these Gouldian finches out of the nest, and saying, well, you're big enough now, out you go learn to fly. Looks cruel sometimes because they sort of flap their wings and fall to the bottom of the cage. But after a while, parents come and help them up, sort of, I don't know how they do it, but they sort of help them and they teach them to fly. But when they're out of their nest, their parents don't just leave them. So they don't just toss them out and leave them there, but their parents sort of help them fly, keep feeding them because you still hear them chirping in that in a specific way. And the parents keep looking out after them until they sort of they get older and mature and learn to fly themselves. And as I look into the aviary, I see growth in numbers when we have eggs and they have babies, but I also see growth in maturity. And I want to have a look at this passage today, how we see the early church and how we see the church, how the church grows in numbers and how it grows to maturity. So that's what we're going to look at in these verses. Not at all the verses, because that's way too many for my poor head. So we're just going to look at two verses, because I can cope with that, and hopefully you can too. We're going to look at verses 21 and 22. But before we do, let's pray. Father God, as we open up this passage and have a look at it, Lord, we pray that you'll help us to see what you're trying to say to us as a church and as individuals. Lord, I pray that you'll help me to be clear. Lord, I pray that as we leave here, we'll leave here with a sense of purpose for your word and for what you want us to do as Christians in your world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been looking at the book of Acts for over a term now, actually nearly two terms. And in the book of Acts, we're seeing how the kingdom of God has grown and how it's spread. Sort of from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. And in chapter 14, we're getting to the end of that journey. In actual fact, at the very end of the chapter, we read that they're back in Iconium, which is the place that originally sent them out. But in this chapter, we continue to see the church grow, and that growth is growth in numbers, but it's also growth in maturity. But in verse 21, we read that Paul and Barnabas preached the gospel in Derbe and Lystra, and that they won a large number of disciples. So it grew by evangelism. So the early church, it grew by the apostles, Paul and Barnabas and all the other apostles back in Jerusalem and wherever they were sent, and new Christians through persecution going out and telling people the good news about Jesus. They preached the gospel, and we read in this verse, they won a large number of people to the Lord. Paul and Barnabas were quite focused in their work. And we see the kingdom grow. And I was thinking about it. We all want to see the kingdom of God grow. I know I do. I mean, we would love to see every church, every seat in here full with bottoms on it, with people who have sort of want to come and love and serve Jesus. I know that's something that I pray for. And if we look at our text, I sort of think this can help us know what we need to do, how we spread this the kingdom. I mean, we read earlier through that bit where the man is healed, I guess how just one step and how Paul goes about doing it. And later on, when Paul's at Mars Hill, he actually explains to people, he sort of gives him his testimony about how he, about Jesus and what he's done. He gives an overview. But we need to speak the gospel. We need to be introducing people to the kingdom of God. We need to be evangelists. Some of us are better than others. For some of them, it's a gift. I know for myself, it's something I find really difficult. I struggle with it, and I think, I don't know how many times I can tell you when I sort of gone, I walk away from a conversation and I sort of think, sorry, Lord. I mean, there was an opportunity and I missed it. But in speaking the gospel message, there's, I guess, six basic biblical steps that we need to communicate. And if you have a look in that that part where Paul starts talking to these people who want to come and offer him sacrifices, he starts with the main step and the six steps of this. He starts with, who is God? If you have a look in that passage, he sort of goes, God, the creator of the universe. And later on in another chapter, we get a fuller explanation of things that Paul says. And he goes through, who is God? Who is man? What is sin? Who is Jesus? What Jesus has done about sin. And then he goes on sort of, not in this chapter specifically, but in another later on, he goes on about what we must do about what Jesus has done. We need to be clear that Jesus is the only way, he's the exclusive way to salvation. And we need to then call people into repentance, into faith. I was just thinking about it. There's so many stuff in this world today where we offer good advice. I mean, you go to magazines, they offer you good advice. They have good advice on how to cook, good advice on how to do up your house, TV programs, they all do the same. They're offering good advice on how to do this and how to do that. The web, you want good advice? Go to the web. Go on a Google search, you know, whatever you want, and it'll give you good advice. But is that going to give you good news? What's that advice going to lead to? Is that advice going to lead to good news? I don't think it does. I think the only good news is that we have Jesus and what he's done for us. In fact, that's not good news, that's fantastic news. The good news is that God has made it possible for us to be right with him. The good news is that Jesus came to save sinners, like you and like me, and that all who believe in him are going to have eternal life. Now that's good news, and we should be telling people about it. How do we do this? I mean, for myself, I mean, I struggle with it. I sort of think, what do I do? How do I do it? When? So what I've got is on my phone, I've got an app that's actually sort of a brief evangelism thing, sort of that takes you through those steps. Who is God? Who is man? What is sin? Who is Jesus? What do we have to do about Jesus? There's a number of resources available that you can actually get. There's a book by John Tapman, which is called Just Start Talking. Dominic Steele does another book, which is called Introducing God. I mean, there's a host of others. In actual fact, you can go to the internet, that place for good advice, and actually go, how to evangelize, and you'll get some good advice on how to evangelize. And we've mentioned in the past our communication cards. If you're not sure, or if you'd like to do a course that helps you to evangelize, just write on that. Love to do a course that just helps me sort of be able to evangelize or just get my head around what it means to preach the gospel. Often I think that I've got to have all the right words to say. I've got to sort of have everything perfect before I actually open my mouth. In preparing this sermon, I've sort of come to realize that I've had to repent. Because when I tell people about Jesus, that's all I'm asked to do. That's all I'm instructed to do. It's not my job as a Christian to make them become Christian. I can't do that. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that does that. So I've had to repent to God sort of I guess, arrogance and ignorance. Arrogance in the fact that I thought that I had to get everything right for someone to become a Christian. Well, that's just not right. I've just got to tell them about Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit's work in their heart that's going to do it. I don't have to be eloquent in everything I say, because God will use the words, however they come out, to change people's lives. The Holy Spirit works in their heart to do that. All we need to do, which is comforting, is just be faithful to God in presenting his word. Just need to be faithful in telling them the good news. Jesus' birth, death, resurrection, about salvation and how salvation comes from the Lord. Can you remember a couple of weeks back when Stu did, it was probably about 4 weeks ago, he sort of preached about something very similar, and he said three P's. Anyone can remember the three P's? Anyone? Bueller. Prayer? Yeah, prayer was one. Preparation? Yes. Preparation, prayer, and one final one, that something that we do, it's an action that we do, I guess, which is when we're talking to people, which is something to do. Starts with P. Come on, how much more clear do you want? Purposeful. So, everyone, I remember now. Yeah. So you've got to be prepared, prayerful, and purposeful. So in part of being prepared, like I said, for myself, I actually use, often I use this, one, which is a two ways to live presentation. It helps explain, take you through those steps of who God is, who man is, what is sin, who Jesus is, what Jesus has done about sin, and what our action must be. So that's something that I use. But I can't rely on that alone. So I have to be prayerful, praying that that God's going to provide me with an opportunity. So I'm prepared. Now I pray that God's going to provide me with an opportunity. And the last thing that Stu said, which was to be purposeful. So when I'm having those conversations, so when the opportunity arises for me to say something about Jesus, that I don't walk away going, oh, I forgot again. That I'm purposeful in my conversations, that I'm looking for opportunities just to tell people about Jesus. It doesn't have to be much. But all I've got to do is just put that seed in. Because it's God who waters it. It's God who makes it grow. So introducing is one step in how we grow our church. Telling people the gospel, evangelizing is one step in how we grow our church. But if we read our passages and if we look at what Paul and Barnabas do, they don't just go in and preach the gospel and then shoot out of town. If they did, Paul probably wouldn't have been stoned. But he hung around way too long sometimes and ended up getting stoned as a result. But they knew that for a church to be healthy, they also had to grow in maturity. So look in verse 21. They told the gospel and made disciples. They were intentional. So disciples don't just happen, do they? I mean, you don't turn to Christ and become a disciple straight away. Yes, you turn to Christ and you become a believer, but that's the start of becoming a disciple. I mean, that finch, when it cracks out of the egg, it's a finch. But it's not a mature finch by any means. In actual fact, I didn't put a picture of a young finch up there because they're not very pretty at all. And it's the same about Christian life. When we become a Christian, we're a believer. But we need to be discipled. And we also need to disciple. I mean, think about Jesus' life. I mean, he was the best preacher of the gospel on earth. Anyone want to argue with that? No. Best preacher, he spent 3 years trying to just get his disciples to understand. So we've got to continually be engaging with others, be engaging with each other, those who are wiser than us, to try and understand, to grow in the word. Paul and Barnabas, they did this a lot as well. I think this is Jesus' the Great Commission. Therefore, because of everything I've told you, I mean, Jesus is sort of making his sort of final statement to his disciples after 3 years. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So I am sure that what Paul and Barnabas did when they finished their work, finished preaching the gospel, is they didn't just sort of leave it at that. They told people how to go about obeying everything I have commanded you. So new Christians need to be discipled and need to be strengthened. And I think the church is one area where we do that. In Acts, in verse 22, we see that Paul and Barnabas, they returned to Antioch. On their return to Antioch, that they go through and they do this to all this to all these congregations. As you read through that chapter, towards the end of the chapter, we read that they encourage, they strengthen, they go back to the congregations where they've been to do just that. And this was a pattern. This is what they did. They didn't baby them. Some people today think that Christians can just become Christians and we can baby our whole life. But actually, we've got to grow. Growth is not an optional extra just for those guys who are zealous for Jesus. Growth is something that we need to do. It's a sign of life. If a tree is alive, it grows. If a finch is alive, it grows. If we're alive in Christ, we've got to grow. Paul and Barnabas, they wanted their new disciples, their new Christians, they wanted them to grow. So they discipled them. And they did this, and we see that they did this in verse 22. Paul and Barnabas, they first discipled the new believers by strengthening their souls and by further teaching the explanation of the scriptures. They followed the command of Jesus to teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Understanding the word of God is a lifelong process. In actual fact, we're never going to understand it fully. Even when we get to heaven, we're not going to understand it fully, I'm sure of it. There's things that we just won't understand about God, because God is God and we're still going to be human. We're going to be perfect, but God is still God. So to think that as soon as we become Christians, boom, we're going to understand everything about it, it's naive, it's childish. Because there's many among us who are more knowledgeable in the Bible who can help us in our faith, help the newer guys in their faith grow. I see this really clearly at our home group, and at this point in time, I've got to sort of give our home group a bit of cred because they helped us. We talked about this passage on Wednesday night. So home group, thanks guys. They said I had to do that. So, but we talked about this, and I sort of reflecting on our home group, and there's guys who have been Christians all their life, and there's guys who are just new Christians. And I leave there as someone who's been a Christian for as long as I can remember, because I had a Christian family, leaving so encouraged, because as these new guys are asking questions, I sort of think, oh wow, I haven't thought about that for ages. How cool is that? And then so encouraged by these new Christians. I mean, just encouraged to hear that one of the guys who came for a first time on Wednesday night sort of said, you know, I had an accident, and that accident just helped me grow closer to God. I was just going, wow, how cool is that he could recognise that? A new Christian. I think that's why home groups and church, things that we do as a church, are so important. This passage really gives me great encouragement that as a church, that we're doing, that our strategic ministry plan is on the right track. Because it's growing life together in Christ. And I think Paul and Barnabas, as they went back through with the, through these towns, they encouraged people to grow life together with Christ. We can all be involved in doing this. It's through teaching the word, through our home groups, being active participants in our home groups. So sort of preparing before we come, being ready to have opportunities to teach others. I mean, we should be so thankful for those teachers who want to take our kids out and teach them on a Sunday morning. I mean, praise God for them. Because what they're doing is helping these guys to learn about Jesus, discipling them to grow into stronger things. I mean, maybe we should be even thinking individually on how we can grow individually. Might mean doing a course. So I know that last term there was a course offered which was introducing the Bible, one of those PTC courses through Moore College. But even for some of us who aren't good at teaching, standing up the front, giving a sermon, I mean, you can still be involved in strengthening and encouraging the church. I mean, there's real life practical stuff that we can all do, which is praying, serving. So, I mean, the other day, our family got an anonymous letter of encouragement. I mean, that was so nice to receive. Providing meals, mowing lawns, fixing stuff, visiting people. There's just ways that we can encourage one another as a church. The church then, back in Ephesians, back in Acts, and the church now needs to offer times of teaching and instruction. We also need to offer times of encouragement, both during the worship services and outside of them, that we can all learn better from the Word of God. And our ministry plan, I'm praying that it helps us focus in on these areas, helps us become pointy. This type of learning is going to lead to encouragement, something which Paul and Barnabas did well as well. Look again in verse 22. They then strengthened the disciples and encouraged them to remain true to the faith. Paul and Barnabas didn't just evangelize, and the teaching didn't stop there. Didn't just stop at strengthening them. It included them, encouraging them to continue in the faith, to stand strong. Stand strong against the world, against the flesh, and against the devil. They taught them that the way to live for Christ is to keep our eyes on him and on his kingdom. Because if we get distracted by things of this world, we're going to go off track. I mean, Paul and Barnabas didn't say that when you become a Christian, everything's going to be rosy, did they? In actual fact, they said quite the opposite. They had to encourage them to remain true to the faith, because a Christian is in a sinful world and it's not going to be a walk in the park. I mean, we're at war. Ephesians 6 verse 12 tells us, it says this, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Paul is being realistic with new believers. I mean, they've just seen him stoned to death. And he's told them how tribulation, about this tribulation, but it's he's rejoicing in it. There's another part where Paul sort of says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." This is bizarre as it might sound to the world, that times of suffering for us can be great times of encouragement because we know that we're in God's kingdom. So we need to be disciples and we need to encourage one another. Something that I've got that I'm truly blessed to have is I've got a couple of very close mates, some that I've known since I was probably this high, and we've grown up together in church, and others who have become friends later on in life. Now, these guys are close friends, but these guys are also very much disciples for me. I mean, we keep each other accountable. We ask each other how our walk with Jesus is going, how our walk with our family, with our wives, with our kids. We're honest and we're open with each other. Now, they're not doing it so they can show that they're better than me. They're doing it because they want to love and encourage and build up. They're helping me to continue to grow in my faith. I mean, because they realise that Satan doesn't have to worry about the atheist down the street. Satan doesn't have to worry about the guy who's already rejected God. I mean, he's already on Satan's side. So Satan's going to be at us, and that's why it's important for us to be encouraging one another, to be looking for opportunities to meet and, with one another. I mean, I was thinking about it. I mean, the church here, I mean, this is our eternal family. When we die as Christians and we go to heaven, we're going to be spending eternity together. Let's start now. Are you growing in your Christian faith? Something that adults often do is we forget to grow because we're grown up. We forget that we need to be fed. We forget that we need the Word of God to strengthen us. And the finches help remind me of this. Once the bird breaks out of the egg, life becomes a little different. When we're Christians, in this world, life's going to become a little different. There's a stage when the birds, they get too big for the nest and their parents are going to kick them out. They're going to have to start fending for themselves. But it's out of love that those parents kick them out. If they stay in the nest all the time, parents aren't going to be able to keep the nutrition up to them and they're going to die in the nest. They've got to get out of that nest so they can start fending for themselves and so they can start learning about the world. And it's the same for us with Christians. We just can't sit as Christians and think, life's good. We've got to be looking at ways and opportunities that we can grow. I'm so encouraged by our Thanksgiving service. Just the fact that we had all people from our four different congregations come and meet together. It was such an encouragement to see the bigger body that we belong to here in St. Mark's and St. David's. That was a wonderful thing. And we need to remember that at church, here in this church, we're friends, we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. I mean, it's so encouraging. We don't have to fend for ourselves. We should be looking out for others, looking out to help and encourage. But we need to examine our lives and just see where we can grow, where we can grow and be disciples. But also, even as those of us who are mature, how we can be discipled. I think that's what Paul teaches us in our passage. As we leave here today, I want us to be encouraged that God will use you and he uses me to spread the gospel. So I want to encourage you to tell others that there is salvation and that salvation is found in Jesus. Let's invite people, let's look for opportunities to use our three P's, to be prepared, to be prayerful, to be purposeful. But let us not just stop at that. Let us remember how important it is to meet together as disciples, as Christians. Let us meet together in teaching and learn together so that we can strengthen one another be encouraged and we can continue in our faith. So when suffering does come, because it will come, that we can endure it together, and then we can spend eternity with God together, giving Him glory and praise. Amen.